This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have Jim Nance momentarily before he comes on. Hey, did you hear anything about the Cowboys yesterday?
Yeah. I called up Kavanaugh during his show.
To be like, did he answer? And he's like, hold on, Mike's on the phone. Let's take this call live.
I waited until commercial break, and I said, so I'm driving to Arlington for the Ranger game. So DeMarcus Lawrence broke his foot, and this was before it was official, but he's like, yeah, we're pretty much sure it sounds like he broke his foot. And then an hour or two later, it was official that his foot was broken.
And Mike texted me, and he was like, hey, so DeMarcus Lawrence is out? And I was like, what? And I looked it up, and he goes, oh, yeah, he was limited in practice. And I was like, oh, okay, so yeah, maybe it's not so bad. And then, like, 5 seconds later, he's out for at least 2 months.
Yeah, I was listening to G-Bag when it all started happening.
Stupid. Do you blame G-Bag then?
I do not, because okay, G-Bag does a phenomenal job of just giving us the information that's being delivered to us.
All right.
I do blame there is a curse somewhere. And I don't know if it's the Jones family, because Stephen did tell us the other day, Mike. Stephen Jones told us on air the other day that maybe the biggest fear he has is waking up Monday morning. That's scary enough. Is I fear waking up on Monday, because there's going to be so much. It's the Cowboys. Something's going to happen. And, you know, we discuss that all the time. Mike Fisher's been covering this team for 7,000 years, since the AD, right? Or BC time. He's been covering it since then, because he realizes, I don't even have to do anything. Information, I don't have to create stories. Stories just come to me. They just show up, because that's what it is with the Cowboys. It is a never-ending news cycle of some kind of mess. And then there's good stuff sprinkled in, too.
Tell me more about the good stuff, because I just keep thinking about, like, since we felt good, moral victory style, about a close loss to Tampa, it's been Gallup injury, Collins suspension, Gregory COVID, now DeMarcus Lawrence injury. Tell me good
Mike,
things.
Mike, there's not a moral, I don't think a moral victory, I don't think players take moral victories.
No,
I think fans are like, yeah, I can accept that they played good. And I think Michael Irvin really explained it well yesterday regarding the moral victory. It's not the overall encompassing thing, but are there little things within the game that happen that you're like, that's a positive that I didn't expect, and this we can build on this. But I think most people just take the loss or whatever it is and say, that wasn't good enough, and that's going to irk me all week, and they use that as motivation. And that's what I think, like, the great players do, is they don't say it's a moral victory, but they take the good things and go, okay, that's going to be there. Now let's take all the other bad stuff and make it good so we can be better.
Yeah, it's how I see it. What you do is, you're upset that you lost. You always feel like, as a professional, that you have a good chance to win. And then you get into your film, you get into evaluating, and you see the positive things that you did and go, hey, I'm not saying it's a moral victory, but we can work with this. We just correct these things. So that's probably how the Cowboys saw it. Upset they lost. And then by Friday, I guess, they were looking at it going, okay, I can see the positives out of this. I'm not happy we lost, but let's get back to work and get some wins. And yeah, and believe me, the way that we feel, okay, Cowboy players, if they're getting interviewed after practice and stuff like that, they're going to pretend that DeMarcus Lawrence is like, yeah, but we next man up. That's not how you feel inside if you're already a starting player. Now, if you're a backup player on defensive end, you're like, hell yeah, this kind of, I like this, because now I get to play more.
Right now, we will bring to you, probably our search for good news will continue all day, CBS Sports play-by-play extraordinaire and the man responsible for some of the most iconic calls in recent sports history. It's Jim Nance.
With Archie Diacono, 3 seconds at midcourt.
Jenkins
gives it to Jenkins for the championship.
No!
He turned 32 yesterday. Does he have a vintage moment in him? In the end zone, it is caught for the win. Richard Rodgers with a walk-off touchdown. A game ender for the Packers.
There it is. A win for the ages.
Good morning, Mr. Nance. How are you today?
I am well. Gosh, glad you guys put some production time into that. So I appreciate it. It's great to be with you. And my gosh, yeah, I'm looking forward to the weekend. Cowboys and Chargers coming up on CBS, and Tony and I will be there. Excited to be traveling out west for that. It's going to be really fun.
What we could really use your help with right now is, do you feel like at the moment, if it weren't for bad luck, the Cowboys would have no luck at all? Because things have been struggling around here the last few days.
I mean, I'm just so sorry to hear. It's like one thing after another. You deal with Zach last week, and then you deal with Collins. And now, of course, you got DeMarcus. And it's bad news. I mean, everywhere you turn, and they put up such a spirited effort last Thursday night, very easily could have won that game. I know you guys have probably talked about it, and you're ready to move on. But just as a viewer, not as a fan, not as anybody with any vested interest, I thought that the Bucs got away with an offensive pass interference call that set up the game winner. I really did.
Jim, I'm kind of, when it comes to coaches, if I was a coach and I woke up and was missing three of my starters, I would just be like, good, how do I even do this? But you've talked to these guys. You've had these interviews with these guys. How do they typically approach it whenever you say, hey, you're missing a big player, you're missing a bunch of guys? What is their typical response to you?
Everybody has the same cliche. It's on to the next guy, because you can't dwell on it. I mean, it's just the Cowboys – with what happened last year and basically the offensive line getting wiped out and Dak's injury, which we were on the call for that when that happened, it just seemed like there was a higher percentage of injuries that the Cowboys had to deal with. But trust me, this team that they're going to play this weekend, the Chargers, if you go through the last 10 or 15 years, they might be the biggest hard luck franchise when it comes to dealing with injuries. When Phillip Rivers was the quarterback, he never could get his offensive line to be intact. Some teams just get really lucky. They start their front five all 16. Now this year 17 games, and you never think about it. But there are some that are snake bit more than others. This Charger team last year had to deal with losing Joey Bosa early in the season and Derwin James. We were calling the game last year when Tyrod Taylor was supposed to start at quarterback, and they shot him up in the rib cage area before the game and accidentally penetrated his lung with the injection. And Herbert ran out of the field and made his debut and never looked back. So it is part of the game. I know you can try to dwell on it. You got to move on. And I think the Cowboys, as much as this hurts, particularly because Lawrence is such a big part of the defensive scheme, got to move on. It's still early. It's not that many injuries. That's a big one, no question. But you got to move on because there were a lot of promising signs last week, and this season's got a long way to go.
Now, you mentioned that y'all were on the call last year when Dak got hurt. Tony Romo famously said, hopefully it's just a cramp. Did you know right away? I know when we saw replays and everything, did you know right away it was something serious, or were you also hopefully –
No, we didn't see it. It happened on the near side to the broadcast booth, so we didn't see it. I mean, you saw that he, had an awkward immediate reaction to it, but no, we didn't see it until the sequence replays came down the pike. But what a comeback by Dak. I mean, that was quite a performance last Thursday, and, the offense with Amari just putting up Star Wars numbers, and CD we know is going to make another step up this year. I mean, there's a lot to like there.
Jim Nance joining us here on the KNC Masterpiece on 105.3 The Fan. My co-host Mike Bassick is he's very into card collecting, and he's been collecting Justin Herbert and trying to tell everybody that Justin Herbert is going to be this guy. And I've been watching him, and I see, and this is a weird comparison, Jim, I see a little bit of Luka Doncic in that this kid is he's never going too fast. He doesn't let pressure make his decision for him. And that comparison is what I see with Lucas. He goes at his speed, and that's the way he does it. You've been able to get your eyes on Justin Herbert. What are the Cowboys in for with this kid this Sunday?
He, the kid is playing like he's 30 years old, like he can read defenses and work through some of the snags during a game and just breeze right through it. We only had the Chargers once last year. Their season fell apart early. In fact, it was in this very spot, week two. We had Kansas City at the Chargers. And as I mentioned, this is when Herbert had to step in at the last minute for Tyrod Taylor, and he ended up having a 300-yard game. And it was like, wow, this kid throws a beautiful football, spins it, it's tight spiral, looks gorgeous. Didn't see him again. Now, we didn't even meet with him in our production meeting, our Zoom calls, because Taylor was supposed to be the starter. So I had not met him the whole year. Now the season ends, and I live up the coast in Pebble Beach, California, and I got through an intermediary. I got a message that Justin was going to be coming through Pebble Beach on his way back home with a couple of his high school buddies. He'd like to stop by and say hello. So it's amazing how many times this happens at Pebble Beach. We got always a lot of visitor traffic. It's a tourist area, and a lot of athletes come through to play golf, et cetera. But anyway, I thought it was a very nice thing. So yeah. I met him for the first time out in California, and he came by my home. And I just can't begin to tell you how impressed I am by him. He's just 23. And when you see him out of uniform, he's just a kid next door. Now, he's a big kid. He's tall. He hasn't filled out yet, and he will. But just a really kind-hearted guy. I will tell you this, you know, you think of these guys that get these big contracts, et cetera, et cetera. But he was driving home from Los Angeles to Eugene with two high school buddies. Now, he wasn't driving any fancy new car. I can't tell you the make of it, but let's say it was 6, 7, 8 years old. It was a small sedan. That, I'm being generous. I mean, it was not a jalopy, but I mean, it's not like he went out and got a brand new car. Yeah. And he had bags stuffed all through there, so there was enough space for one of his buddies to still sit in the back, one to sit in the front. Humble as could be, going back to live in Eugene where his parents are. This kid was a straight-A student. His older brother is in, I believe, at Columbia Medical School now after never making a B in his life. Justin never made anything worse than an A in his life. And his younger brother, he's the middle kid, his younger brother's on the Oregon football team, and he's never made anything other than straight A's his whole life.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. So, Jim, I was listening to you guys, watching the game, Kansas City-Cleveland, and once again, Tony, you get close to the goal line, he says, Jim, watch out for a trick play here, trick play. And he called it. It was a throw to, like, an offensive lineman. It didn't work out for a touchdown. How kind of – I don't know what the word is here, but how amazed are you or when he says that before the ball snapped and then he gets it right?
I just love it. I'm always rooting for it to happen. And he's on it the great majority of the time. And that was Mike Rimmers, who was a backup tackle. They ran a little shuffle pass to him, and it got snuffed out for no gain. But he saw it through the formation. He's one of these guys that when you look at the 22 on the field, and if you could just pause it for a second, you look at it. He immediately knows where everyone's lined up, where the ball needs to go. This is why Tom Brady is at 44 years old, because he sees the same thing. It comes with longevity. It comes with a very sharp and quick brain, which they both have. And that's why Tony, at the end of his career, I mean, he put up big numbers his whole career. If you remember that last year where he was injured, Dak replaced him, and they got – Tony a series at the end of the week 17 against Philadelphia. He went down the field, went 6 for 6, and I guess you could say officially closed his Cowboy career with a touchdown pass to Terrence Williams. But it's easy for him. It's easy. He can just read it. He sees it. And it doesn't matter what the names are or the numbers. He knows where the ball has to go. So when we have a game with experienced quarterbacks or really upper echelon, top elite quarterbacks, this is where Tony's going to even look better, like a Brady game, because Brady's going to go where Tony knows the ball needs to go. Sometimes when he's wrong, he's not really wrong. It's the quarterback on the field that was wrong. He didn't see what Tony saw, if that makes sense. You get a young quarterback, I'm not talking about Justin Herbert, you get some of these young quarterbacks in some of our games, and Tony says, he's gonna throw it to the slot receiver on the right hand side. Gonna run a little curl pattern, come back after 8 yards. It's there. Just the young quarterback didn't see it. Tony's not wrong. It's just the quarterback sometimes wrong.
With that in mind, do you ever think about wanting to keep him humble and just once in a while drop in? You kind of drop the ball on that one, Tony.
No, never. You know, like I love great teammates. And no matter what is going on in my life, I love people that are great friends, loyal, supportive. And he's always going to have me being supportive. And if it doesn't work out, I'm not going to embellish it or point it out. You know, I'm going to be there to build him up. Not that he needs it. I mean, he's amazing. And I saw it. I've said it many times. But all the years we'd come through to call Cowboy games once or twice a year, Tony would command over these production meetings with our crew and just take us to a place no one else was ever capable of taking you, and explaining the game and what they were trying to do, and not giving house and state secrets away, but just everything was so technically perfect and had it figured out, and the way he could package a comment was genius. So a lot of people say, when did you know he was going to be good? Oh, you know, 2009? Really? The first year he became starter, maybe? 2010? You know, I mean, I could go back. But, you know, 06? You know, where do you want to go? I mean, I saw it for years, and it's all proven to be true.
Jim, a few years ago we had Sir Nick Faldo on, and he told me that he would teach my son how to play golf for a 12-pack of Heineken, and I thought that was the funniest thing. But watching him a little more, how honest do you think that was?
How honest was that by Nick?
Yeah.
I think what you need to do, and we can broker this,
okay,
is next year during the Nelson, you're going to have your press credential.
Gotcha.
You come out, we'll work out a time where you and your son meet us at the base of the 18th tower on Saturday or Sunday, and we'll get that lesson. And I expect in turn that it's going to be something even better than a 12-pack of Heineken. I've honestly never seen him drink a Heineken in 15 years of hanging out with him. So we got to get him something else.
I think that's why we set up that production package at the beginning, to start greasing the wheels for that and everything. Well, we appreciate your time so very much. We're looking forward to hearing you on the call Sunday. Cowboys, Chargers, thank you so much for your time this morning, sir.
We're looking forward to it. We've got the Cowboys in a lot of our windows. We're going to be up at New England in a few weeks. Week 6, and we'll be there for Thanksgiving against the Raiders. So I hope it's a great season for the Cowboys. And, you know, this is a tough start with those two road games, but they're totally capable of having a terrific season. I look forward to being there to document it. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, good sir. There you have it, Jim Nance, right here on your home of, honestly, all things sports, 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, how rowdy are the Cowboys fans? Because we've got a new survey that says, maybe better than you think. We'll do it next right here on The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. How rowdy do you think that Cowboys fans are? Because we have a new scientific...
Our mascot is rowdy.
That's right. So we should win. A new scientific study from the scientific website bookies.com. That's an amazing website. Surveyed NFL fans across the country to determine the rowdiest. I have issues
with
this
study. That's a money laundering website,
by the way. I feel like we're just throwing the word science out here on this one to make it like we did the science on who's rowdy.
I don't know if you've followed politics lately, but people liberally use the word science.
Do you not know how science works, Mike? All right, first off, hypothesis.
I feel like we use science and analytics a lot when it doesn't need to really be science or analytics. That sounds like we want to make it sound really smart, guys. Throw this word on it.
So the top five rowdiest fan bases in the NFL per this survey. I have a huge issue
with
this. Per science.
You can't question it. It's science.
Who do you think of as having the rowdiest fan base?
I think Philadelphia is in that mix.
Seattle probably is up there.
Seattle's loud.
Yeah. I would have thought Seattle would be in this mix. They're not in the top five. It goes Philly, Buffalo, Dallas, which is absurd. Las Vegas and Pittsburgh are the top five.
Las Vegas? How do they even know?
Well, I mean,
because they got one home game. Where they're like, wow.
Were you watching that game, Mike? Did you check that out? Like,
if a team only had one game in their history, I bet every crowd's going to be rowdy. If like, hey, guess what, City of Dallas, you get one game for your whole life to cheer for football.
I think they're still using the Oakland fan base, and Oakland is well known for being the black hole and everything. But in that game, Kevin, I did think, listening to the game, I was like, wow. Their fans are into it for whatever, if it's the stadium or the way, you know, the in-game, whatever, like the Chris Arnolds that are making sure everybody's rowdy. They were pretty loud.
Buffalo, I get. Philly, I get. I was surprised to see Dallas so high. I don't think of them as a rowdy fan base, partially because the way the stadium was constructed. And we have a whole bunch of fancy people who don't cheer at the game, just like kind of sitting there and drinking their wine and eating their cheese and not really cheering. So I was surprised to see them so high. I would sub them out for Seattle for sure.
Okay, sub them out for Seattle. What in Pittsburgh, I always just am afraid of because if their defense gets going like they did against Buffalo, like their fan base is just going to be like, yeah, let's get the towels going and everything.
From the 949, the Cowboys are rowdy in the parking lot, not in the stadium.
That's another thing too. When you live in the freaking like sub 20 degrees all the time and you're always playing there and you're still loud, like that's something that freaks me out too. We're in perfect conditions all the time.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we will hear from Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy right here on your home of the Cowboys, 105.3 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're going to hear from Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy in just a minute. Of course, brought to you by Ford, built for Texas, built for you. How quickly will he get tired of all the DeMarcus Lawrence questions? Is he anticipating questions about other subjects?
Yesterday, he was 2.5 questions into the other discussion before he was like, hey, I thought you had to avoid a question 2 times and then we were good to go. So I think 2.5 is where I'll set that at, Kevin.
Okay.
And then he'll be like, all right, I'm done with all this. But what other questions do I think will he be asked? How will you defeat Rashawn Slater? Because that's a way around
that question, right? That's what I also think. A whole bunch of questions that don't say DeMarcus Lawrence, right, but are about DeMarcus Lawrence.
He will be asked about Leon Lett and that injury, how exactly that all went down, how are you going to fare there. Justin Herbert, like, have you ever seen anybody throw a tighter spiral?
Oh, probably about Randy Gregory, too, right? Is there any chance? And then he'll get beat down with COVID protocol.
He got a couple of those yesterday, and he was like, look, I don't know anything. I think what was interesting, though, was kind of the answer on, you know, and Zach Martin, hearing him say it was less about him passing the test and more about him just not feeling well enough to play. And that's kind of a concern, like, going into this game, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
that's really interesting because we get so caught up with, like, Zach Martin. They said, oh, he's feeling fine. Oh, we got McCarthy ready to go right here on The Fan.
Foot surgery this morning. He'll miss significant time. Leon Lett also had surgery, and he will not travel to L.A., and Donovan Wilson will not practice today. So it's a medical update.
Mike, can you talk a little bit more about the impact on this defense with DeMarcus Lawrence out and how you will go about working that position?
Well, I mean, it's obviously, you know, losing DeMarcus. I mean, he's a prime time player for us. I thought he had a nice start in Tampa. And, you know, you hate to see these injuries to any of your guys, but, you know, what it does is just gives, you know, opportunities to the other players. So, you know, how we spread that out, that'll be done through game plan We'll work on that today, tomorrow, and Saturday. So, and you know, specifically, you know, we'll get into that once we play the game.
Can you tell us what happened with DeMarcus? How did he go down?
It was a one-on-one pass rush drill. Just, you know, kind of come around the corner there, and just, you know, it was unfortunate.
You believe he'll be back though at some point this season?
Oh, I think so. Yeah.
And you know what happened with the left?
Yeah, it was something to do with the sled. He just kind of he caught it funny, and just kind of an awkward situation. And he has a torn quad tendon. So,
yeah. He's talked about, like you say, you're going to work through this, but Basham's a guy, Armstrong's a guy on the other side with Gregory still in the protocol. Can you talk about those two guys and then also an eye behind him and who you have in the rotation right now?
Well, I think as you saw throughout training camp, you know, I thought we'd done a really good job working all those guys, you know, throughout the rotation. You know, in you look at just the way we played in Tampa, you know, no one really played above 40 reps, you know, with the guys. And that's really how we want to approach each and every week. So, you know, how it shakes out. I mean, obviously, you know, Dorrance has done an excellent job. You know, Basham's back. He had some time off there in training camp. And, you know, you have the young guys, you know, Bradley and Kamara. So we'll just, you know, continue to work the rotation. And, you know, there's some game plan, situational things that we'll do also.
He practiced full yesterday. The worst
yeah. Thing I like the way he looked. You know, today will be a big day for him. You know, he hasn't been in pads. So, We'll see how his work goes today.
And Micah, does he get more edge rush responsibilities now?
We'll see. You know, I mean, once again, I think you have game plan specific things that you do. And so, but, you know, we've been very conscientious of how we play Micah, you know, both, you know, at the off the line, you know, responsibilities as opposed to being on the line.
Is that something Jalen can do?
Off the line? Yeah. Well, I should have just brought the game plan in here a bit easier. I mean,
in the last 11 days, you guys have obviously lost a lot of players, injury, COVID, things like that. What is just your message to the team when stuff like this happens?
Well, I mean, the injuries it's part of the game, and it's really it's unfortunate on a personal level, but it's not really if it's going to happen. It's just really how many are going to happen, and so that's really always part of your planning. And I think, frankly, the roster development that's in place today, I think, helps you better to prepare for this than prior seasons. So, you know, the fact that we have 69 players, you know, in house, I think, gives us a much better chance to deal with these types of situations.
When you've had a lot of stuff going on, how do you make sure your guys don't get their heads down and say, "Oh, woe is me," and just stay focused on the Chargers?
Oh no, we're dialed in. I mean, today's a big practice for us. You know, this is our heavy lifting day. So, I thought the meetings went well. I thought for a Wednesday, the work yesterday was solid. So no, we're into the plan. We're playing a team that's won their first game on the road. They're playing with a lot of confidence. I've been impressed with their personnel. So, we're dialed in to winning this game.
There's no concern with where you are now, but that after last season, there's a here we go again sort of mentality you have.
I don't think so. No, I don't feel that way. So I don't get that sense from our players at all.
But coach, in your private moments, do you kind of feel like you guys had mentally reset that this was sort of year one? You had your players available to you. Do you find yourself in your quiet moments going, "Can I catch a break?"
Well, the reality of it is, this is how it goes year in and year out. It's just a matter of how many. So, as I've stated, that I mean, the injuries are so personal to the individual, but in the team concept and team environment, we're focused on who's the next guy up, you know, the opportunities, and really from a coaching perspective, we just want to make sure we put these guys in position to be successful.
We talked about DeMarcus and his pass rushing and all that. What do you miss from his run defense and is just the energy that he brings?
Well, his energy and tempo, I think, is clearly. I mean, obviously, he's had big plays. I mean, just, you know, his takeaway in the Tampa Bay games clinic. I mean, just the way he comes down the line and hammers the ball out. So, I mean, his tenacity and his energy when he plays with is definitely, I think, is what you will miss.
Any concerns about Wilson for Sunday?
Can't really answer that right now. So we'll see how today goes, but he's not going to practice today.
How ready is Hooker to play? Obviously, he didn't play last week.
But he had a good day yesterday, so he's definitely a lot more comfortable. I think just the training camp, getting through that, and we just didn't want to go too fast, with him coming off of the injury and the rehab, component that he was going through. So I thought he looked good yesterday in practice.
Have you gone with a pass rush by committee approach in your time as a coach? So speaking, you have Peppers for a while, you have Matthews.
Yeah, I think it's different because, how many pass rushers line up and play 70 plays, 75 plays in a game. So you have to have a rotation at some level. There's a school of thought that, whatever the number is, 23, 25 rushes is the maximum that you can really expect from a guy. And there's some people that don't believe in that too. So, but we want to, there's a reason why we kept as many, defensive players and also particularly the defensive front. So we want to be, rotation focused anyways.
Going back to Donovan and Hooker, the safety position's interchangeable enough that he can handle Donovan's role if he needs to, or just how do you view playing him in tandem with him?
It has to be. I mean, at the end of the day, it's, you're putting together a game plan. You're trying to, go against your opponent, but the priority is always based on your players. So, everything we do is, based on utilizing that specific player within this game. We're not going to, try to ask guys to do things that they're, don't have the experience or reps in. So, interchangeable, ever how you tilt it, from shell defense to, one high. So, you take all those things into account.
Just double checking, you won't have Gregory Sunday, or is there a slight chance?
He's still in the protocol, so.
Talked before about the importance of getting that first road win. I think I know the answer, but why is that so important? What does it do to a team just to get that first road
win? Winning on the road is the hardest. It always has been in my experience. So, it's their home opener. So it's, I think we'll go with your answer. It's probably better than mine. I didn't answer it very well. So.
With Dak and uncertainty at the right tackle and what's happening there, has he played so much where you don't worry about him overcompensating or doing different things to away from his game because he knows that Lael's not going to be out there?
No, I'm not concerned about it. I just my conversations with Dak, he's not concerned about it. He's he's focused on really the intricacies of how we're going to approach their defensive front. They give you multiple looks, multiple defensive personnel. So we just want to make sure we have the declarations right and everybody's on the same page. And, we'll compete accordingly.
How much did still playing with Zach last year give you a little bit more comfort that if that's the group you have to go with on Sunday?
Definitely. It gives you a lot of comfort. Experience, you can't buy that. So, his experience last year for a rookie was tremendous. So, and I think not only the experience that he had last year, but the energy that he took into the offseason and what he did in the offseason. So Terrence is clearly probably one of our most improved, he's definitely one of the players that from his rookie year to his second year we'll be using as an example because he's done a tremendous job preparing for his second year.
Thank you.
All right, there is Dallas Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy right here on 105.3 The Fan. Whole lot of stuff right there. Is no Donovan Wilson practicing today. Not sure about his status for Sunday. Big day for Chauncey today in terms of how much he'll be used, if at all, on Sunday. And then I did like his answer, if you're looking for what the Cowboys are going to do, about Micah Parsons and Jalen Smith both playing off the line. He was like, look, I might as well just give you my game plan, which led me to believe, tell me if you think I interpreted this wrong, that both of those options are in play.
He's got secret plays drawn up for Jalen Smith.
Romo's
going to
ruin him.
Yeah, he's got secret plays, Mike, all lined up and ready to rock. Listen,
I'm not worried about it.
It sounds like, hey, we're going to do the best we can to patchwork a defense together for this Sunday. But we have to really make sure our offense is effective, because if we're not, we will, that's the thing, is it sounds like our offense has to carry this team this season.
I wonder this. This is a real question here. How much, if you're Dan Quinn, I mean, put yourself, Tolo's, in his shoes. You know you're not going to get any pressure with four. It just, you have to be realistic about
because
it.
Because specifically these four.
Yeah, these four guys. If I just play somewhat vanilla, and I know he doesn't, but if I play the majority of snaps and I just send four and drop back seven in coverage, we're going to get destroyed.
But also, I mean, this Chargers team against Washington last week, Washington only had like five pressures?
Yes.
Right. So, I mean, that's a really good defensive front we consider.
So, right. And so what I'm wondering is how many times, Reggie, do I send six to seven guys and sell out to try to make Herbert make a mistake and tell my four guys or possibly five guys, you kind of got a man up here and we're hoping you only have to do it for 3 seconds. Like, I think these are tough decisions when you are a team, when you're a coach that has limited options and you have limits in talent, that you have to try to do things to make the, like, as one of my pitching coaches said, hey, Bassett, keep trick effing them. And like, I didn't have very good stuff in the major league, so I had to trick eff them. And so, can Dan Quinn, and the problem is a little bit, is he couldn't do any of this until today. As far as yesterday was concerned, and Monday and Tuesday, now he knew he probably wasn't going to have Randy Gregory, and that's still up in the air, but for the most part, Randy Gregory, you know, he's a nice role player, a nice average starter on a team, but he's not a difference maker, at least throughout his career, hasn't been proven to be that. DeMarcus Lawrence can be and can get pressure somewhat on his own. None of these guys can. So how much do we have to trick F up our defense for Sunday? How much time does that give Dan Quinn to try to do that for this Sunday to confuse a little bit of their offensive front, to maybe make the job a little bit harder on Justin Herbert? And then, you know, if you do that early and you're getting burned for 20, 40, 60-yard plays because you've sent five to seven guys – you know, then how much do you back off of it and go, you know what, we're not going to get pressure with four. I know this sounds stupid too. How many times do we send two and drop nine back?
Yeah, and here's the thing, wow. Mike. You know, when I make this Justin Herbert Luka comparison, it's because I was listening to Brandon Staley, their head coach, talk the other day. And he was saying this, and these are the nuances of the game that are really like you don't notice or pay attention to unless you're a coach, right? He's like, listen, when this guy drops back, he has the ability to hang back on that foot just a little bit longer before pushing into a throw to wait for Keenan Allen to make that cut. Like, okay, so it's taking him a little longer to get into the route, but he has the ability because of his arm strength and because he has the patience to do it. And when I talk about he knows exactly what he's capable of. Right. Herbert knows what he's capable of. And so when you're talking about that, now Keenan Allen, let's say we do trick it up to stall his route just a little bit, or that's the plan. We're going to be physical with him at the line. Well, then there's Justin Herbert who's like, I trust it. I'm waiting that extra second. And that's what those veterans do. That's what Jim Nance was talking about, right?
Yes.
Is he plays like he's 30 because he has the patience to say, I'm not just going to go ahead and let go of this ball because I have to or because somebody else, the pressure's making me. I'm going to hang in just an extra second, and I'm going to deliver that because I know he's going to get into his route. He has so much trust in his teammates. So, Mike, that those tricks, they will get exposed very quickly. And you're right. That's something.
But you have to do it, right?
You got to figure out some plan to be. You just have to be effective in those other areas to put them in long down situations, and that's going to be difficult to come by.
You know, when you say you have to do it, Mike, is I think about this one, and Mike McCarthy's up there, and he gave like the standard answer of injuries are part of the game, but I thought Jane had a good follow-up question that I was really hoping he would admit she was like, when you're like in your private moments, are you like, can we just catch a damn break? Is like, these are the weeks where you really earn your money. Like, I know that all of us and everyone listening right now is like, I could be an NFL head coach. These are the weeks when you figure out, like, are you actually good at coaching? Not that you have to win the game by yourself, but can you come up with something somehow, like Mike was saying, that can smoke and mirror it up just a little
and
bit.
And the other thing, too, is we are going to the Mike McCarthy presser. A point I was making is these guys are human. They know they're a little bit screwed right now. Now, they don't believe that they're a bad player or that the backups are bad. They're there, but they know if you're an everyday player, if you're a starter on that defense, whether you know, you're Leighton Vander Esch or Trayvon Diggs, and I know Diggs is very young in his career, but you're like, crap. Like, I'm going to have to cover a little bit longer. This sucks. You know, now, it doesn't mean you don't try your best in practice and you don't get over it in a hurry, because once you get out on the field and you put on the pads or you put on your jersey and your glove and your bat, I mean, you go. You do whatever you can to try to win that game. But just like you're talking about in those private moments, they're not stupid. They know Yeah. they're pretty screwed right now. It's just that, all right, I know I'm screwed. Do I quit? No, you just go out and you do your best. You try to do what you can do. But you know, as another player that relies on a guy getting pressure, or you rely on, if you're next to DeMarcus Lawrence, and you rely on him taking the guard to possibly help, and so you get the center, or you know what I'm saying? Like, there's just – now as a player, you look at it and you go, damn. Like, this is going to make it really difficult to actually win what we want to win.
But that's what McCarthy's motto has been, right, with all these players. It yeah. took 77 yeah. players to win a Super Bowl that year. Each one of you in this room right now is going to have, at some point, have to do something. But did McClay get us the right talent?
See, and that's the thing is, like, I think Mike is definitely right. I keep hoping for this, like, absurd player that's just been sitting there waiting for their opportunity, and instead of going, damn, we're screwed, you're like, finally, it's winning time.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. Oh, like, yes.
I know we're gonna
waiting for that guy to get hurt so I could play.
I know we're gonna talk about this more in just a second.
The defensive ends are. Well, like, sweet. There's some dude on the practice squad that's like, that was
hey,
awesome.
Look, I was watching, and I know it's a different time and a different sport, but I was watching that 86 Mets documentary, and they talked about Lenny Dykstra pinch hitting in a playoff game, and he goes, oh, good, so you finally want to win the effing game. Like, I'm just hoping that somehow, some way, one of our young players is like, oh, good, so you finally want to get home on the quarterback. Yeah. Like, and that's what's going to happen.
Bradley and I is like, it's Bradley and I time.
Yes.
Yeah, let's go.
I realize the unlikeliness of that, but
Azur Kamara is like, they didn't put me on Hard Knocks for no reason.
Yes. Right?
I got my time to shine then, and now it's time for me to shine again.
Sometimes when you don't know, you don't know. I remember I read the book Moneyball, and early on in the book, the general manager of the Oakland Athletics is with the New York Mets, and they're in spring training, and they're both on deck getting ready to hit, and Lenny Dykstra looks at Billy Bean, and he goes, who's pitching today for them? Like, as the dude's warming up, like, he's three or four pitches away from the game starting, and Billy Bean looks at Lenny Dykstra and goes, yeah, that's Steve Carlton. A Hall of Famer who has 3,000 plus strikeouts. So, like, Lenny's like, I don't know who the hell, like, yeah. these people are. I just play this. Baseball.
Yeah.
Like, and so Billy was like, God, what an approach. Like, I'm thinking, my God, I'm about to hit off a Hall of Famer, one of the greats of all time, this and that. And here's Lenny on deck going, I don't even know who these people are I'm playing against.
So just
tell, like, he's left-handed. Okay, you told me his name. Like, does he throw hard or not? Like, I don't know these people. I just play the game of baseball. I don't know the history. I don't know who actually currently plays baseball.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Wanted to give you a quick football stat. This is just for Reggie and Corey.
What?
I mean, the rest of the audience
Mike.
Can enjoy as well. Mike, I don't think Mike will care as much, but you guys have been supporting Jameis Winston.
Correct.
Saw this amazing statistic.
You make me sound like a Winston hater.
Yeah.
Jameis Winston threw a touchdown pass over the weekend.
Yes, he did.
That traveled. Well, this one in particular,
oh, okay.
I want to focus on.
Oh, this is science, guys.
And this is science.
Science.
Sports
and
science.
Put science and analytics on it. It makes it sound really important.
The science says the ball traveled 50 yards in the air. Okay. Drew Brees attempted 9,421 passes for the Saints and never had one single one like that.
Are you kidding me?
Analytics.
It seems like the touchdown.
You're surprised by that?
The record-breaking touchdown he threw to, like, Tywan Smith was one of those, like, 70 yards.
Do I need to say science again?
Who was the science?
Paul Hembikides. Paul Hembo, if you prefer. That's what he goes
by. I'm never going to trust Paul Hembo.
Paul Hembo!
Paul Hembo.
You ever seen the episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where it's science versus faith?
I have
what
faith.
Time is that segment,
I
Corey?
Have faith in this.
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here.
Made
on
him look like a bee.
Coming up next, In light of the 1986 Mets documentary, who is the best Major League Baseball team you've seen in your lifetime? 877-881-1053. We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At-Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At-Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.